Our first speaker is Dr. Ron McClure. Rod McClure, he is formerly the director of the Research Institute at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. He's currently the director of the Division of Analysis, Research, and Practice Integration at the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control at the Centers for Disease Control.
Thank you very much, Joyce, and good morning to everybody. The colleagues I have here from Australia, except for Claudia, who's from the World Resources Institute in Washington, we have nothing to declare in way of conflict of interests. What I'd like to do in this presentation is briefly introduce the distinction between the systematic and the systemic approaches to injury prevention and illustrate this shift in thinking using an example from road safety. Now, classically, the public health approach to injury prevention is described in a 4 or 5 box linear model. We define the problem, we identify the risk factors, we develop countermeasures to address the risk factors, collect these into a program, implement the program, and try and scale the program up to a population level. Now, I've argued previously that this is, to use Kaplan's terminology, reconstructed logic, not logic in use, and that to see it as a blueprint for action is one of the primary limitations of modern injury prevention. I've also argued that to be effective, injury preventions have to be built from the ground up at the population level, using the existing societal institutions that we have as the infrastructure for implementation. Now, that approach, though, too, has its problems. Society is constantly changing. There are tightly coupled components in society so that when something happens, something else will happen. There are non-linear relationships. Most relationships, organic relationships, tend to be exponential rather than linear. Society is history dependent. Where we go now depends a little bit on from where we've come. Two different societies in two different positions now will go different directions on the same stimuli. We are self-organising, we are adaptive and evolving. We operationalise our activities through trade-offs. Some of our outcomes are counterintuitive, and much of society is policy resistant. It's these same features which actually are defining characteristics of complex systems. So if I've argued that we need to start our interventions at the level of society, and society looks like this, then it follows that maybe looking at some complex systems methodologies might be useful when we're looking at project implementation. So let's take an example from road safety. The UN declared in 2011 a decade of action for road safety, and they based their documentation on the public health systematic approach with the question, how do we stabilise and then reduce the forecast level of traffic fatalities around the world by 2020? One of the issues about that is that it takes the problem of road safety out of its context. So to reframe this as a systems policy question, our group came up with the wording specified here. What are the features of land use transportation system that optimises the health and well-being of the population? Systems dynamics models the effect of gradual change through social growth rather than just replacing existent with a counterfactual, and it makes explicit the consequences of the interactions between the components of the system. The purpose of system dynamics modelling is not to generate accurate predictions of the magnitude of a given outcome, but to compare the results of different policies when put through this simulated process to learn more about the dynamics of the system rather than trying to predict something down the track as an outcome. There are two essential elements of the system dynamic model. The first is qualitative, and expressed here as a causal loop diagram that tries to represent the dynamic hypothesis at the basis of the model itself. So thinking of road safety to 2020 in a systemic way, recognising that it needs to occur in context, and that the context of the motor vehicle escalated deaths in lower and middle income countries is not that motor cars are becoming more dangerous, but the exposure of motor cars is increasing. And the reason the exposure to motor cars is increasing is a product of multiple factors, but to simplify it for the sake of this discussion, it's because many countries believe more cars equals more mobility equals more wealth. And lower and middle income countries need to develop wealth in order to improve their health. The other aspect of this is that motor cars are a sign of wealth, so that there's a driver to own a motor car because everyone else has got one in high income countries, even though there may be better ways to become mobile. The problem with more kilometres driven is that that increases the denominator, so that for a fixed risk we get more deaths. Another problem with more kilometres driven is that we get more sedentary behaviour, more pollution, more chronic disease. If we get more deaths and more chronic disease, our health of the population goes down, our wealth goes down, our car ownership goes down, our education goes down, our health goes down. And you can see we've got here both some reinforcing loops and some negative loops which work the other direction. One of the aspects about exponential growth and decay, and the human body is a good example of multiple systems where there's exponential growth and decay, it's kept in line and kept in check and kept relatively balanced by homeostatic process. These balancing loops, these interactions between the components, is what we're arguing is driving the results at the end of the day, rather than any one piece of the puzzle. So the basis of this mathematical representation then has to go over the top of that qualitative one. Stocks and flows is the terminology used. A stock, you can imagine, is a bathtub filling with water coming in and water coming out. How much there is in the middle is dependent upon the rate in and the rate out. For the road safety example, we felt that population drove much of the wealth and much of the health quantity in a community. Beijing versus New York, for instance, versus Denmark. It's the size of the population which is an important factor in there that we need to accommodate. Population health is an outcome of interest, and wealth is one of the drivers of vehicle use. We connected these three flows and stocks with auxiliary variables, which really just affected the taps going in and the taps going out. If you decrease the risk of a crash, you decrease the number of crashes per kilometre, you decrease the harm, you decrease the health loss, you slow down the population health outflow tap. If you increase the wealth, you increase the car ownership, you increase the kilometres driven, you increase the deaths. If you work all of those components that we have around road safety primary prevention, road safety tertiary prevention, that's care, tertiary prevention will go up as your wealth goes up. So all of these we put into the model really just as modifiers of flow in and flow out. We tested four policies, well, three really. We reduced the travel mode risk. We shifted all new growth from the road to other modes of transport, and we did that as well, but protecting the other modes of transport using specialised infrastructure, and then we combined all three. And we did this across six cities: Denmark, London, Beijing, Delhi, Melbourne, and New York. And I've taken the New York example here because it's the US national example, and we've chosen Beijing to demonstrate a couple of differences. Beijing is a poorly motorised country at the moment, so in the model there was dramatic motorisation. New York's basically saturated in its motor cars, so it was modelled not to increase its motor cars. We modelled the different rates per kilometre, deaths per kilometre. We blocked over a 10-year period the growth in motor cars and moved it across to other modes of transport, that's active modes, and this was the number of deaths that occurred. We blocked the motor vehicle growth, shifted it to other modes, and then protected it with specific infrastructure. This was the number of deaths that would have occurred. We just did primary prevention, road safety, and improved quality of healthcare, and we got this projection, and then we put them all together and we got this projection. You can see a vastly wider distribution in Beijing than New York. Beijing's GDP is about 7-8%, New York's about 1 or 2 over the 10 years that we modelled this, and so that increased development of financial development was fed back into changes in safety in this level, and this was fed back into changes of safety in this city. And so we actually had a greater dispersion of best versus worst options. Primary prevention in traffic is still a very significant reason or contributed to reduction in deaths and reductions in the disabilities that are measured both in terms of road crash deaths but also chronic disease deaths in this model. If you shifted modes without protecting the vulnerable road user, there was very little benefit to be gained, even though they were active transport. Meant that the chronic diseases went down. Active transport is a much, much higher risk than motor car transport. And so that the overall health gain wasn't terribly much until you protected the vulnerable road user. When you put that protection in, there was a dramatic gain both in terms of chronic disease and road crash deaths. Clearly here, the best result is when you combined all of your policies. Now, one qualifier in this is that what comes out of this model is nothing more than the assumptions we made when we put the data into the model. What it does is allow us to examine our assumptions. So yes, you could criticise this very validly by saying we could tweak these end results by changing what went in at the front end, by changing our risks, by changing our assumptions about wealth to health, wealth to infrastructure improvements. And that's true, but it's in the process of making those changes that you learn about those relationships and you take them into account when you build your intervention. So the final four points that came out of our discussion amongst ourselves around the data with this, and our discussion was with policymakers, not just researchers, was that integrated policy decisions are required. Greenfield sites have a greater potential for benefit because places like Melbourne are so fixed you can't change much at all in the way of the safety around the protected vulnerable road user. We maximise trips, not distance, when you're talking about mobility. We need to get somewhere for a purpose, not get another kilometre driven. And that mode-specific infrastructure is critical if we want to get the benefits of active transport. Once you have all of that in place, then the conclusion of the model is that mode shifts to active and mass transport options provide a better road safety gain and a better overall health gain than simple road safety interventions.
Thank you.
We'll take a couple of questions.
No. And you're quite right, that needs to be in there. I think there are a number of ways that model could be made more subtle, and that's one of them.
Thank you.
Which year is year zero in the model?
About 2010. And it was locked in at that because we had data for all of the countries you used up to fatality data up to 2010.
Is this a study where we could look at policy options and kind of validate the model?
We went back to 2003 and we ran that exact model for and measured it up against the exact death rates for those countries, and we got an eyeballed valid result. Now, it looked pretty similar. We didn't statistically say that the two lines were not statistically different. We just eyeballed them, and it gave us some sense that the model wasn't too far out. So we called that calibrated. Yeah, very good question. Model boundaries are a nightmare in this that have to be identified very early up. We put the boundary around the city, but then in order to get some of our data, we had to get national data and then pro-rata it back to the city because we didn't have quality data across all our variables.
Thank you.